The storyline goes like this. A family huddles in fear on the eve of a catastrophic worldwide cataclysm. But a young light bearer with the gift of fire guides them into a paradisical garden future. The hardship and transition transform them from being captives to fear to captains courageous. And the name of the movie is The Croods. And they just came out with part two. I can't wait to watch it. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, we hear Paul telling us to look up because our redemption is drawing nigh. When I talk about our redemption, I'm talking about the earth being pregnant with the body of Christ and the sons and the daughters of God. And that's you. And when things get harder and they get closer together, that means we know we're just about ready for the birth, okay? Now, that's why Paul tells us in Colossians 3, 1 through 2, if then you were raised with Christ, now all of you that have been baptized in the likenesses of his death, burial, and resurrection, you have been raised with Christ Jesus. You are seated with him in heavenly places. You are in Christ. He's interceding for you. He's cheering you on with all the saints of Hebrews chapter 11. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, at the right hand of God. And set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, if you lived in a third world country, you'd probably be going, yeah, we're experiencing locusts, we're experiencing famine, we're experiencing hardship. But we're in America, folks. We have food from all around the world. But let me just tell you, somebody posted this on my website. They said, for any year, so grateful that our joy is not housed in government, it's not housed in politics, it's not housed in elections, it's not housed in money, in the stock market, and in the comfort of your own home. What is our hope? Our hope is eternal life. Now, Paul, in this passage, he uses two Greek words. The first one is seek the things which are above. Seek them. The word is zeteo. Everybody say zeteo. You're never going to hear that again. You're never going to use that again. But that's the Greek. It's zeteo. And it means to seek, to search, look for, to worship, to be about, to desire, to endeavor, to inquire, to try, to attempt, to strive, to want, to ask, demand, require, expect, consider, deliberate, examine, and investigate the things which are above. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Love it. Now, the second Greek word, this one's a little easy to remember because we all know about phrenetics. Phrenetics is mind stuff. The second phrase, set your mind on things above. Now, the first one is seek those things which are above. And this word is set your mind on things above. And that word is phroneo. Everybody say phroneo. Think of phrenetics. Now, here's what, this is what the Greek dictionary says about that word. To think, to have in mind, to care for, to be concerned about, and to think highly of the things that are above. Folks, well, our focus is in the wrong place. We need to be setting our minds, seeking the things which are above, zeteo, and minding those things which are above, phroneo. Now, I want you to think about John, the Revelator. He's on the island of Patmos. He's been exiled to Club Med, okay? He's sitting there, and it's the Lord's Day. And what day is the Lord's Day? It's the day that the Lord rose from the dead. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's Day like we are. Amen? And he gets a revelation from heaven. In chapter 1, he sees a vision of the Son of Man coming in the clouds of glory. Now, he writes 22 chapters of the apocalypse, of the revelation. And just in another part of the world, not too far away, the temple in Jerusalem, Herod's remodeled temple, has been dismantled stone by stone. The glory of the whole earth has been dismantled stone by stone by Titus and his Roman hordes in 70 AD. And we know that the book of Revelation was written after that. He doesn't even mention the loss of the joy of the whole earth. Because you know why? He had zeteo and he had phroneo. He was focused on things above. Now that would be a good time to give me a double honk right there. Certainly, this week we face a highly contested election with incredible consequences. But folks, the reality is, whatever happens here below is just a side note to our heavenly agenda. Can I hear a honk? Okay. We're... Thank you. Okay. Well, I'm just honking for myself. I'm like a Canadian goose. In Hawaii, they're called, it's the Hawaiian state bird, the Nene bird. Okay. Now, when the seventh angel, Paul calls it the last trump, when the seventh angel sounds his trumpet, it says in Revelation that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Is anybody looking forward to that? Okay, so, you know, in order to get to the seventh trumpet, the last trump, we got to go first through the first six. And before we get to the trumpets, we have six seals, the seventh of which is seven trumpets. So, folks, it could be a wild ride. So just put your seatbelts on. Okay. Can you imagine living through the transition that Noah went through? Now, Jesus said that the last days are going to be like the days of Noah, people eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until Noah went in to the ark, okay? And what did he bring with him? All his pets. So make sure when you have trouble, just get your pets in a safe place too, okay? He had his family, he had his wife, he had his sons, their wives. And you know, my theory is that there was enough room on the ark because Peter calls him a preacher of righteousness. And he preached for many years. And guess what? Not a single convert except two bears, two lions, two giraffes, two dogs, two mosquitoes? Oh, Lord help us. So Jesus also said, looking at the last days, he said, remember Lot's wife. Now, God sent the angels to see if it was as bad as heaven was hearing reports of. They show up and they tell Lot and gather his family and get out of the town. Now, I'm sure Lot had his go bag rents. Do you think so? Here's what I know. Lot's wife didn't. Because she could not. They were instructed not to look back. In other words, folks, zeteo, seek the things above. Phroneo, set your mind on things above. Don't look down. Don't look back. Have your go bag ready so that when you got to go, you can say goodbye. Because guess what? It's all going to burn anyway. I'm talking about fire next time. Okay. So, think about the Babylonians who came down and destroyed Judah and carried off captive the people, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and and plundered the temple. I mean, those were tumultuous times, folks. It doesn't matter. What we're going to go through is probably not as challenging as what the biblical characters have had to go through. Think about the destruction of Herod's temple in 70 AD. We talked about that. Now, we're gonna go to a time of communion. Because in Ezekiel 9, verse 4, the Lord gives a command, and he says, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men and the women, I add, who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. What does the Bible say? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. If you're the way to come out of Babylon and not be a partaker is to grieve and to mourn over the condition of our world. And God in heaven promises that you will be a marked person, a marked for protection, marked for provision, marked for power, marked for his presence, marked for his peace. Because God said to Abraham, I am your shield, that's protection, and I am your exceeding great reward, that's provision. How many of you want to be marked people? Okay, there's another mark in the book of Revelation chapter 13, but we're not going to talk about that. Okay, so as we come to the Lord's table today on the first Lord's Day of the month, I want to talk to you about how we're marked, not in the Old Testament sense, but in the New Testament sense. Listen to Jesus in John chapter 6. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life, because I am the bread of life. Your fathers, speaking to the Jews, ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Did you get that? It's the tree of life, folks. You eat from the tree that Jesus died on the cross, you live forever. It's the tree of life. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. There it is. That's your mark. Today, we're going to come to the Lord's table. We're going to drink his blood. We're going to eat his body. And I'll get some help with this. Then he goes on to say, after he talks about the bread, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, John 6, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. Now, remember what happened in the Passover. They took the lamb and they took and sprinkled the, painted the blood over the doorpost and up above. And inside they had lamb with mint sauce. I think they had fresher Escher mint sauce. And the angel of death passed over every home that had the blood applied. Today we're going to apply the blood. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. I'm suspecting this was during the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles there, the one of the three feasts where everybody had to show up in Jerusalem. And he talks about the bread which comes down from heaven. And then on the last great day of the feast, he stands up And he says, quoting Isaiah, "Ho, anybody that's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." And this he spake of the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I pray right now, as we come to your table, as we receive your body, as we partake of your blood, we thank you, Lord, that the death passes over us and we will live forever in your presence. And all God's people said, Amen.